wholeness again. And tonight is going to be, like Nikki said, letting go of the past. I'm going to read part of the beginning of this is from Chris Valton's website, Moral Revolution. I think it's his. He's the one who wrote the book. So I don't know if he mans the website or not. But anyway, God creates a man and a woman in his own image. And he places them together in a wild garden and blesses them to enjoy forever the goodness of his creation. Adam sings and Eve dances into his arms. Within the blessing and delight of God, they enjoy naked in the garden sex. Two becoming one in every way possible. Touching, kissing, frolicking, and tasting. Yep, and profoundly in all this, naked and no shame. Now, can you imagine that for a moment? Living in a world with no shame. It was never God's intention to bring shame to sex. In the garden, when God had the world exactly the way he created it and desired it to be, the man and the woman were naked with no shame. Naked, no shame. No comparing, no pretending, no living up to somebody else's standard of what I should look like. No lust, no fantasy, no objectifying, no pornography, and no pressure to be someone else, to be thinner, to be darker, taller, sexier. None of that. Adam and Eve are beautifully naked with nothing to hide and nothing to prove. Bodies are enough, and reality is enough. Created in the beautiful, breathtaking image of God, they have found their value and worth in simply being children of God, and it was good. Then somewhere along the way, we lost our story. This weekend, it's about finding it again. Somewhere along the way, we were told lies about ourselves, about God, about men, about sex. And this weekend is about finding truth again. Somewhere along the way, we were violated by a world obsessed with sex. And this weekend is about restoring what was taken. Somewhere along the way, we learned shame and guilt and condemnation. And this weekend is a time to get free of those things. Somewhere along the way, we got off track and made mistakes. And the enemy would like nothing better than to keep us trapped in that world of regret. But this weekend is about redemption. Somewhere along the way, we lost sight of God's design for sex and sexuality. And this weekend is about embracing it again. We lost our way. Now, if you looked that up on his site, I added the last. I didn't want somebody to go, hey, that's not what it said. I added all the somewhere along the ways. Anyway, but this finding our path again starts with letting go. It starts letting go of wounds, offenses, regrets, pain, and negative views of our lives that we have about ourselves or anything else. And I'm hoping that as I tell you my story, it will help you let go of what's happening in yours. Your story is going to be different. Some of us can be similar. But I have a feeling, even though my situation was different, what I had to let go of, and still am letting go of, your situation might be different, but you're probably going to have similar things to let go of. So I'm going to start with the beginning of my story. The one thing we need to let go of is our negative views of ourselves. Some of you, when you go to here, you've been here, you know a lot of my story, so I'm sorry for the repeat, but it's still good to hear sometimes. I was told from a very young age that I was ugly. If you heard my testimony a few years when we first came, I was told from a very young age that I was ugly. It was not uncommon to hear people say, well, we know who the beauty and the brains are in that family. And all it said was, I'm ugly and she's dumb. Somehow it didn't translate that I'm smart and she's pretty. And so it was really kind of a backhanded slap to all of us. I would go to school as a teenager and I would have guys come up to me and say, have you looked in the mirror lately? Do you know how ugly you are? Or if I did like somebody, you know, when you're wounded, for those, some people, when they're wounded, they keep everything inside. And some of us, we try to make up for it. And so in my woundedness, I guess I was pretty obvious when I liked certain guys. And I would hear them say, only the ugly ones ever like me. And so I grew up thinking I was ugly, that no one would ever love me. That's wrong because I'm very happily married, as you know. And he tells me every day that I'm beautiful. But you know what? I'm not the only one. Some of us have been told that we're too fat. There's a lot of fat shaming going on. And if you struggle with your weight, you don't realize those who struggle to gain weight get shamed just as much. People think, oh, you're bulimic. Are you anorexic? Or don't you really think you need to put a little fat on your bones? And that somebody else is, I think you really ought to do some weight. Maybe you ought to cut off on the cheeseburgers a while. And you want to say, it's none of your business. Or my hair's too wild. You know, I've had wild hair. My mom would kept my hair short until I was old enough to let it grow because it was obvious to anybody that my hair is wild. In fact, when we were at Hickory Ridge, when that prophet was there, I can't remember his name, he was giving prophecy. He said, you there with the hair. I'm like, is that how I'm known by my hair? So we have these standards, and most of us, it's very hard to get through. And then you got society holding up these images of what we're supposed to look like. And it's the perfect image, really is impossible. And even any of the pictures you see are never really truly accurate who the person is. And I'm glad to see actresses and models coming out against this photoshopping that's done. They take nearly perfect images and make them just a little more perfect. Give them a little bit more boob. Why anybody wants more boob is beyond me. I don't know. Take a little bit of flab off there. You know, give a little more butt. You know, whatever. They got to do all this stuff so that we see the picture, we see the perfect image, and we're not content with the way God has made us. We have body image problems. And our body image affects the way we respond sexually. It affects the way we dress. Sometimes, for some people, it's a matter of just covering up. For others, it's a matter of flaunting. Wow. I'm always running this tension between being too graphic and being raw. But when you got boobs, they're really hard to hide. Yeah. We can... Well, I won't go there. I thought something, but I won't go there. I feel like Tim. No, I don't think I'll go there. Anyway, so some people like cover it up, and other people want to flaunt it because they've been so shamed, they've been so ugly. I'm like, I'm not ugly. Somebody tell me that I'm not, and I'll show you some part of me that's good. I think there's a part there. And when you start to get attention, then you start wanting to show that or wanting to hide it, depending on the amount of shame. Then I realized one day we were at her house and we were having this conversation and somebody, I don't even remember who mentioned it, that I think everybody struggles with feeling beautiful. And I realized I don't anymore. I wake up any day and look at myself and think that I'm ugly. It's not hard for me now to look and think, yeah, I'm beautiful. And it's because of two things. It's because I have a husband who tells me every day without fail, you are beautiful. And have I told you lately that how beautiful you are? Yeah, he did, but I don't mind hearing it again. And I've realized that I'm made in God's image. And that sounds kind of trite to us. It kind of feels like we've heard that all of our lives. But it's a powerful truth. He doesn't make junk. And he's made each of us uniquely beautiful in our own way. And I'm not talking, you know, when you're a teenager, we got teenager, you get tired of healing. Well, it's what's on the inside that counts. Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't mind something on the outside. You know. But once you realize that you were created by God, the greatest artist that ever lived. Is that my phone? Yes, probably. If it goes off or I get a notification, you all hear it. But anyway, and we can let go. We know how much he loves us. So we need to let go. You know, when we're married, we understand that even though everyone that's married, I shouldn't say everyone. I'm trying to get away from always, never, every, you know, making blanket statements because all it takes is one counterexample. But as wives, it's hard for us to imagine that our husbands love the way we look. And as single people, it's hard for us to imagine anybody's going to ever be attracted to me. And it's a lie from the enemy. And it's a lie from the enemy. And so this weekend, actually I'm going to do it right now. I've been really trying to sense from the Lord, you know, when to flow and when to just, I'm going to leave it. We'll do it at the end. We're going to have a ministry time at the end. We need to let go of our body image. I think that, have you ever, You don't have to raise your hand, but if anybody's ever worn a bikini, I haven't. But if you've ever worn a bikini, you feel empowered, right? I don't. You never felt. I've talked to women. I would not feel empowered. Okay. I'd be afraid. I can remember being 12 years old and wearing a bikini, and I'd had these nightmares. I'd dive off the high dive, and someone would hit the water, but the bottoms would come off. And then I'd be trying for how I'm going to get out of the pool. It was a public pool, and I'm like, nightmares like crazy. You think? Yeah, because I didn't have nothing, no butt, no boobs, nothing at that age. But I've talked to a lot of women who, and then they feel guilty because they feel empowered. Like, am I feeling empowered because I'm wanting to turn a guy? Or you have a beautiful an outfit that really looks good on you. And some people might think it's modest. The church has done a really, I don't like hammering the church. But we've done a pretty poor job of helping us women learn modesty without shaming us. So you have a really nice outfit, wear a bikini, and it looks really, really good on you. And it might be a little low, a little bit, much skirt, maybe a little short. And we can feel guilty even when we do feel good about ourselves. I want to suggest, I'm not saying go out and wear a bikini. It's up to you. It's not me. I wouldn't because I'd fall out of it. But I want to suggest to you that the power we feel is really that we finally have conquered our body image for that period of time. I can go in a bikini with a baby pouch. And I don't care what you think. I don't care what anybody on the beach thinks. I can go, and it doesn't matter to me what anybody thinks. I am confident in who I am. I am confident in what I look like. Like I said, you can wear a bikini, not wear a bikini. I'm not saying go. So you guys, you know, mom says no bikini. That ain't. Or you got some more teenagers here. That's a. Yeah. But there's a confidence we feel when we look beautiful because we're and a bikini in particular, because that really doesn't leave nothing to the imagination. It's a confidence that we've finally conquered that body image. Letting go of our body, our negative views of our body. Now another thing, so I was ugly. And when you've been told you're ugly, you have needs. You want attention, you crave attention. And so I don't remember when it happened, but I think it was right about six, but my brother started abusing me, but he denied it then. And 2 years later, I know for sure that it happened, and I never confronted him because the first time it just kind of all hell broke loose when I did it the first time, and I thought, I'm not going to tell anybody ever again. I had to pay a toll to get through my bedroom, about 35 cents, to be able to get through my room. And since I was abused for that long, I shut down. In fact, I can remember sitting on that bed as a six-year-old, and I slept kind of on a landing. It wasn't even really a bedroom, but we had a small house with six, soon to be seven kids. I remember sitting on my bed, and in the room, there was a huge argument, and my mom and dad were yelling, and my brother was yelling, because I had told them that somebody had touched me in the night, and they were in all out fight over it. Now, fighting in my house was as normal as the sun rising. It wasn't uncommon for one of my brothers to take a knife to my mom. So, I mean, I'm not sure why, but this time it was my fault. This argument was my fault. And I sat there on that bed, and I said, I will never tell another soul. I will never cry. I will take care of myself because nobody else can. And I shoved everything down, shut everything off. Conceal, don't feel. Don't let them know. Man, I had that down long before Disney made it a song. Not too long ago, as I was thinking about this memory, I was in a kind of an Isozo type session with a group of people. Had to be mixed, but that's all right. I don't mind being vulnerable. And they had me ask Jesus where he was. Can you see Jesus? And I was sitting on the bed, and he was standing in front of me and looking in my eyes saying, don't make that promise. Don't make that promise. Please don't make that vow. You have no idea what it's going to cost you. Abuse causes us to shut down and wall up. And when it happens when you're young, you have no idea the cost, but it's the only thing you can do. We learned in Sozo ministry, with children, you don't take down walls because they need them. Walls, they need walls. So, I needed them. But I shut everything down, shut my body down. I would leave my brother, like I said, it was about 12 feet. He had 12, I would leave, I'd go up into my room. I felt dirty. I felt stupid. I felt, and for years afterward, whenever I was intimate with a husband, it hurt just like it did then. And it was sticky like it did then. And so I was completely disgusted. Hated it. Hated it. It was okay in the beginning when you first fall in love and you have all that, your Twitter pated feelings. I have 10 kids and people used to laugh and think that that's all I ever did. Trust me, that might have been the only times we did. That's an exaggeration. Both would be exaggerations. But I mean, I hated it. Because when I was intimate with my husband, I felt, I hurt. I mean, I had 10 babies come out of that thing. There was no reason it should have been hurting, but it still hurt. And I felt guilty. And I'll tell you something. Before I say this, this is abuse for me. And for some of you, it could have been too. But for some of you, it might have just been the way somebody looked at you that made you want to cross to the other side of the street. It might have been a man just dressing you down. Mm-hmm. You might have been jogging one day and say, hey, baby, what you got? Come on over here and talk to me. It could have been that. It could have been a cousin who cornered you just one time to grope over your clothes. Nothing. In your mind, it's nothing. You see, we all minimize it. We minimize the abuse that occurs. But it's still just devastating. Mine really wasn't as bad as some. Not if you're really looking at the scope of it. So we can't really measure it. 25% of women in this world have been sexually abused. Now, I think that number is extremely low. I'm sorry, I do. But I know if there is only 25%, that's the only the ones that admit it, and very few will come out with it. Very few will come out with it. I did the one time, but I didn't after that because I'd been silenced good as a 6-year-old, and I wasn't going to say any more. Sometimes threats are used, manipulation. So, like I said, 25% are the only ones that admit it. They've broken the silence. It's probably closer to 50%. But if I would add in those women who've been slimed by guys, dressed down, lewd looks or comments, I think it would go up to 75%. In fact, if you add in then, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. If you add in then the number of us who've been shamed because what we wore, I have so much, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Can we please stop shaming us for what we wear? Now, I'm going to talk about a little bit tomorrow. I want to talk about men aren't perverts. But it's only one small step from saying you're responsible for men's thoughts to saying you're responsible for what happened to you. It's not a very big step. Okay? So, how am I to know that the way I dress didn't cause what happened? Now, our family we weren't Christians then. I was trying to think of the word I wanted. Christians, hey, that's dumb. I mean, we were in a church, but we weren't in a church that was stressful. Women wear, I don't know. That wasn't a part of it. Anyway, so, if you add on the number of women who've been shamed, or being told they're flirtatious. Let's face it, extroverts, how many extroverts have been accused of being flirtatious? Huh? Yeah. Introverts are snobs, extroverts are flirtatious. We just can't win. And if you're honest, and this is really aside, we're the ones that do it to ourselves. We're the ones that label the extroverts as flirtatious. Those of us who are extroverts or not, we just think the introverts are all snobs. And the introverts think all the extroverts are flirts. So anyway, I doubt that very, very, I'm getting my words mixed up here. I think the number of women who reach adulthood with a healthy view of themselves and sex is probably pretty, pretty small. I think probably close to 90% of us or more have been some way shamed. So, shame. Getting rid of the wounds that shut us down. I am. All right. So I was abused. women who have been sexually abused tend to react, to respond in one of three different ways. They become a party girl, going out all night and, you know, running around. And then there's those who become a good girl. They're not going to disappoint anybody. They're going to toe the line. They're going to do everything. They are not. They're going to control them. Nobody's going to hurt them again because they're going to be so good. And then you got the tough girl, which I was a tough girl. You aren't going to hurt me. There's no such thing as pain. I will never feel pain. I might feel anger. Oh, I'll feel anger. But I will never fear. I will never feel pain. Put on this tough exterior. So we tend to respond in one of three ways. Like I said, I tend to respond in the part of the tough girl. But there was occasions because of the combination of the shame and the rejection I felt as being ugly that I wanted the attention. And I knew how to get it. Let's face it, if you've watched very much TV, unfortunately, most of what young people learn today about sex is from TV or pop culture. I knew how to get it. And so I end up finding myself in compromising situations. And then there was a couple physical sexual encounters that went further than I was comfortable with. Some of them I felt powerless. It was something that escalated real quick, and I didn't feel like I could say no because I felt like I'd asked for it. I felt like I'm the one that got in the truck. I'm the one. It was time I rode my bike. I was mad at my mom. We got into an argument, so I just took off on my bike and went to my boyfriend's house. And we didn't go all the way. We went much further than I was comfortable going as a 15-year-old. And so I felt powerless. And then there were situations where I kind of enjoyed it. And I didn't really, it was with my husband and I. And neither one of us really had set boundaries. And that's what, and so we find, and for me, like I said, it was a combination partly of the abuse and the rejection. But for some people, it's not. I mean, some people, we find ourselves in compromising situations. Or we want to be loved so much, and this is the only way. I am really, 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 really grieved at the things that young girls are being told today. And when I read the articles and the things that young girls are being told, in order to get a kiss, it's to give a guy oral sex, and it's expected. In order just to get a kiss or have him hold her hand, she's got to serve him. Yeah, when we're at, forget the guy. But a lot of us don't have, we feel like this is the only guy we're going to get. We're not sure if anybody else is going to love us. This guy pays attention to me. Now, for those of us who have up, and you know, we've healed a lot. But for teenagers who are hurting and who have needs, that's another thing. You know, if you see a party girl or a tough girl, good girls. I mean, I say good girls too because it's harder to know them. It's harder to really get in because sometimes it's sincerity. It's the true desire to follow the Lord, but sometimes it's just wounds. So it's kind of harder to figure them out. Or it's just that we've accepted them. You know, girls are supposed to be meek, gentle, and quiet. Tough girls, party girls, they don't fit that box. You don't know what journey they've walked. You don't know where they've been. But if you've made mistakes, if you've compromised, if you've been in compromising situations and you've messed up, I want you to know you're a new creation. He makes all things new. You don't live there anymore. The cross, that grace showed on the cross defeated your sin. But when you died with him, you were buried and raised again to a new life. And you don't live there anymore. That's gone. That's not who you are anymore. He makes all things new. You are a new creation. Colossians tells us that he has reconciled us to himself through the blood of his son, through the death of his son, to present us blameless before him. Now think, picture for a moment. Right now, you are standing in the presence of God. You can see him. You're in his presence. And no shame. You are pure. That's what he has done. His grace is strong enough to take care of your sin, and his grace is strong enough to take care of your pain. A friend of mine has a song written, "The holes in his hands are big enough to swallow up all the pain in this world. It's big enough to swallow up all the pain and the shame and the guilt and the condemnation." So if you have compromised, can I just tell you, you're clean, you're pure. If you have been violated, because when we've been violated, we feel just as much shame. We feel it was our fault. We asked for it, something. Can I just tell you, you're clean, you're pure, you're a new creation. That doesn't define you anymore. Your wounds don't define you. Your pain doesn't define you. And your past regrets don't define you. He redeems, he restores, you are good as new. In fact, there have even been stories of women having their virginity restored. Their hymen is healed over. Now, that's a God we serve. That's a God we serve. Everything made new. All right, so this is really, I'm going all over the place as far as in my mind I am, but it's really according to my notes. What happened then? I told you how much I hated sex. Did I move this? Am I all right? And when I tell you I hate it, there was one time, but I can remember it clearly. He woke me up in the middle of the night, like sometimes husbands do. And I told him, waking me up in the middle of the night for sex is about like me waking up in the middle of the night to go wash dishes. I feel guilty even saying that. But that's how I felt about it. I had this on-off switch, too. And it was either sex goddess, I can't get enough, never get satisfied, or don't touch me with a 10-foot pole. A Ricky and Lucy thing would be really fine with me right now. Everybody know what a Ricky and Lucy, separate beds, you know? That would be really fine. Now we sleep, we can both sleep in a twin bed quite nicely, comfortably. Well, when I'm not pregnant, which I'm not going to be pregnant anymore. Knock on wood. Don't think it's going to happen. And so I had these two extremes because of all this. And because I'd shut down, because I felt shame, because it hurt, because I hated who I was. And I couldn't, and I would cry. Oh, you have no idea. Because our marriage had healed quite a bit. But I had a husband who was hating the way God had made him. And he was asking God to take away his desire for sex so we could, so he wouldn't have to be dealing with it all the time. I am warm. Could we? You know what the thing is? I am, for me to be saying I'm warm. I had this, and I was frustrated, and I was angry, and then I kept begging God, will you please show me where the on switch is? Can you please? I have no idea what's going on in here. And I could be enjoying it for a few days, and bam, don't touch me at all. And I never knew, well, I think you. At least I don't have Trump hair that'll blow all over the place. Wow. So I had these expectations going into marriage about how sex was going to be, and it lasted for about a couple months, 3 or 4 months. And then it was like, forget it. I could live without this stuff. I mean, shoot, if I never had sex again, there ain't nothing to miss. And Hollywood make it look, Hollywood don't know nothing. Hollywood really, a lot of their stuff is not real, right? Why am I telling you all this? You know what? Because you have disappointments too. You have unmet expectations that get in the way. Maybe a husband or a significant other who's been addicted to porn or is wrestling with porn. And that, it disgusts us. I mean, I don't care if it's every man's battle. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. I don't think it has to be every man's battle, but we're not, I mean, we'll talk about men tomorrow. They're not perverts, by the way, and we need them. Sorry. There were times I wish I didn't. There were times I swore I'd never need a man, and I'm not the only one who thought that. Anyway, or you have your spouse is Your relationship with your spouse is distant. It's broken. There's brokenness there, either because of your choices or because of wounds for both of you. And it's hindering your sexual expression. It's hindering. And when we have, even though I knew why I didn't like sex, okay, there still seems like there's just really something wrong with it. And so I blame myself more. And so there's a cycle of blame that goes on. Blame myself for the abuse. Blame myself for compromising. Blame, and all this now resulting in me not liking sex. Why did I couldn't respond to my husband, said, blame me some more. And there was a cycle of blame that I just kept heaping on myself. And then when that was healed, there was other issues, but I'll talk about that tomorrow. So in order for us to find our story again, to get to that place of being no shame, we have to let go. And each of us, some of what I've talked about, might have rung a bell, resonated, that's what I have to get rid of. Maybe, or maybe something else you're thinking of. But one of the things, in order to find our story again, one of the first steps we need to make is forgiveness. Now, it seems very cruel, especially when your wounds have been, when you've been violated by somebody else, for you not to be able to go on without forgiveness. And I'm learning when I'm talking to people about forgiveness. You know, the Bible says, unless you forgive, God's not going to forgive you. And we look at that as, he's not going to forgive me. And that's kind of what the text says. But that's an old covenant principle, that forgiveness is based on what we do. In the new covenant, it's a covenant of forgiveness. And he's forgiven you. It's not like he's, I mean, what I would like for you to consider is, if you're coming to him for forgiveness and you're not forgiving, you have your hands clenched. And I can't receive anything in my hands if they're clenched. And when I forgive, I release. His forgiveness is already there, okay? But another thing happens, okay? Unforgiveness ties me to that, to my, I don't have it, shoot. Well, it's kind of, ties me to my abuser. Have you ever read, watched the movie Undaunted? Is it Undaunted? About the guy in, about Zamperini. Can't remember what the movie was. Anyway, Unbroken. It's Unbroken. Yes, Unbroken. He was Unbroken, not Undaunted. He was Undaunted too. But anyway, he talks about there's the commandant of the Korea. He was shot down. Actually, his commander had him take out a lousy plane that was messed up. Shot down, floated for 45 days on the sea, came up on a Japanese, ended up being a Japanese prisoner of war. And the leader of that Japanese prison took a special interest in him to destroy him. And at one point in time, he had everybody in the camp line up and had to punch him as hard as he could. And if they didn't punch him, they would beat somebody else. So everybody had to punch him. That was just some of the things he played. And he went home. They got freed. But he found himself, he spent his life determined, all that while, determined to get free of, I can't remember the guy's name, the bird. The bird? The bird, right? Thank you. I'm glad you're helping me out. I have it. I use it in my Sozo training. I bring it up all the time. But I didn't think I'd need it today. But then, now he found in back home that the bird still had hold of him. And he would wake up in night sweats. He would make up in night terrors. At one point in time, he woke up straddling his pregnant wife, strangling her because he was having a nightmare. And that's when he realized he needed to get help. And his forgiveness released him from the bird. Now, I'm saying that because not to guilt you into forgiveness of anybody who's wounded you, because we're going to be doing some forgiveness here. We go into ministry time. Forgiveness is going to be a part of it. But I also want to encourage you, it doesn't take a lot of forgiveness. I mean, it doesn't like, you don't have to forgive somebody for everything they've ever done. I have found working with, doing Sozos, if you can forgive just the teeniest, tiniest thing. Okay, an example, my brother. And I've forgiven my brother, but I mean, it happened, I'm 50, 43 years ago. No, 45 years ago is when it started. And it ended, anyway, when I was 12. Anyway, 11 or 12. But in a situation of a brother, violating you. Or somebody, if you can just forgive him for taking your pencil. Now that seems really little, doesn't it? In light of violation that my brother did. But God seizes that opportunity and he empowers you to forgive some more. Forgiveness is going to be a big part of stepping, moving forward. And it's not necessarily the cruelty, well, it's not the cruelty of God. I don't say necessarily, that's an unnecessary adverb in there. It's for your good. It's because he wants you free. And as long as you can't forgive, you're tied to that person forever. And it's in the, and it's, you don't have to, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to like them. I mean, that's, I believe wholeheartedly that there is a place in forgiveness you can get to that you will genuinely want that person's goodwill. I just read a story. No, I heard a story. I don't know if anybody else is in year three. You guys probably heard it if you listened to it. Yeah, everybody knows Heidi Baker. And you guys can correct me if you've listened to the, Joy. Not Joy. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. Sorry, my mind is all over the place. Hello. I knew it was going to be like this. Shara was her personal assistant, Heidi's personal assistant. And she tells a story, a powerful story of forgiveness, where Heidi was in Hong Kong. And Heidi loves kids. And Heidi loves to invite people into her home. And she was there, and a man that she knew had gotten radically saved. She brought him into her home. He got radically saved. Changed completely. And by all appearances, and I'm not going to doubt that. I mean, she said he got radically changed. And he offered to watch the kids in her home so that she could go speak. And he, trying to find a tactful way of saying this, he violated them so horrifically that even the cops puked, threw up. And they had nightmares for her. And they left Hong Kong, her and Rowan left Hong Kong. And I think she was in London, and God called her back to Hong Kong. She said, I'll go as long as I don't have to see this guy. But I don't want, he said, and he kind of said, that's not really forgiveness. Something like that. Can't remember the whole conversation. She went back to Hong Kong. She saw the guy, and God wanted her to actually go ask him to pray for her. Now, I'm not there. Sorry. I'm not there. And I'm saying that story more as a encouragement of where God can bring us. Now, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure there's probably some of you sitting there. If that's forgiveness, forget it. I don't want it. I ain't doing that. There is no way on God's green earth. If I'm going to get from here to asking that person to pray for me, forget it. I ain't even going to get started. And that's okay. That's okay. And I'm saying that honestly. I tell people in my sozo, wherever you want to go, I'm not going to go anywhere you don't want to go. And if they say I'm not going to forgive, then I say that's fine. Because God's so good. He is so good. And he loves you so much. He's going to keep wooing you in a way that meets your need. He's not going to force you. He's not going to violate you again. Other men may have violated you. Women too. I'm not excusing women. We have a tendency, like I said, we're the ones that shame each other by our looks and by what we wear and whether we're too skinny, too fat, too whatever. We're the ones that do that. And so he's not gonna force you. He's not a defender. He's not going to violate you. But he does love you so much, and he'll keep wooing you. And if you could forgive just, he took my pencil. Or he called me stupid. Or she didn't want to play with me that day. Okay, I know that's young, but I mean, or she didn't want to go to lunch with me, whichever. I mean, just a little thing. God can work with that. God can work with your will. I had a pastor who used to say, if you're not willing, then ask him to make you willing. Say, I'm willing to be willing. All right, the main thing I want, and we're going to go into some ministry time here, and as we transfer, I'm going to have her play a song, because just to kind of transfer from teaching to ministry time. I want you to be pondering what might be holding you back. I'm going to do some listening prayer exercise so you don't have to figure it all out. But what I want us to know tonight is, no matter how badly you've been hurt, No matter how badly you've messed up, you can start again. You can start again with a new slate. You are not damaged. You can have a new start. You can experience everything that God meant for you to experience. This is the first step. Go ahead and play the song. Yeah.
Like you've never been before, the life you knew in a thousand pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat again. Just let that word wash over you. It's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been. And tell your heart to beat. Everything for your good. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday is a closing door.
We're going to get in groups of two or three, four, okay, for our time of ministry. And if we want to, I'd encourage you to get with people you feel safe, but that sometimes we stay with people who are really safe. We have the same baggage they do. You know what I mean? Sometimes, but you can go where you want to. I want you to get in groups of two or three. We're going to be doing some listening prayer exercises, and you're going to be talking with each other. After this is all over, I will be here all night long, and I don't care if I'm up till 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. If we want to keep ministering, that's fine with me. Find any corner Wherever you want to grow, go, bro. Yeah. You know, while you're going, he talked in that store. I wish I had that. You know, while you're going to the corner, getting in groups, he says something about a scar. And your scars are beautiful to God. Right now, you might feel raw. Right now, you might feel like you are sliced completely open. But that's going to heal, and there's going to be a scar, and that scar is going to be a testimony to the greatness of God. And while God did not cause your pain, God did not, he is in not any way, no way at all is he responsible for what's happened in your life. When you give it to him, he can use it for your good. And the enemy wants to destroy you, but he can redeem it so perfectly that you think he planned it all along, but he didn't. He gets way too much blame for that. All right? What I want you to do is I just want you to ask God if there's any lens that you're wearing, any lens that you are viewing yourself through. Holy Spirit, is there a lens that I'm viewing myself through? Do you want somebody with you? I don't know. Okay. This part, yes, because if we share, I don't want that recorded. This is recorded. That way somebody's listening, they can go through these exercises too. All right? All right, now, okay. Holy Spirit, is there any lens that I'm using to view myself through? Okay, talk to each other. Tell each other if there's a lens and what that lens is. If there's not, if both of you, neither one of you, he's shown you a lens, just intercede for the rest. Okay? Okay. Now, if you have a lens, if I go too quick, raise your hand, okay, so I know. All right. All right, I choose to forgive the person who handed me these lenses. I repent for filtering my life through these lenses. And I forgive myself for being deceived by wearing them. Papa, I hand to you every false judgment that I've made because of these lenses. Now it's time to get rid of the lens, and you're going to hand them to Father God. All right? Father, I hand to you these lenses. What do you have in exchange for me? And then receive those lenses, and you're going to use them. And Father, I thank you for these lenses. I'm going to see myself differently now. And it's going to be good. If you get into ministry time and you keep going, ignore me. Different parts of this I've highlighted in people's minds and hearts. And For those of you who feel like their body or their soul has shut down, they've been wounded, they've been disappointed, they've been violated, hurt some way, and they can feel themselves shutting down or having shut down. All right? I want you to ask him if there's somebody you need to forgive so you can feel again. And if you can, forgive that person. And it's just a choice. I choose to forgive. Even just saying the words, if you can, are powerful. Our words have power. Father, today, right now, I release this person and the hold they have had on me. For you young people, you're just in the stages of building walls, and you might need to. So what I said about building walls, you might need to right now, and that's okay. But if you are at a place in your life that you know you have walls, and you're ready for them to come down, well, we're never really ready. But first, I want you to talk to your body now, okay, and your soul. All right, body, soul, I thank you for protecting me when there is nobody else there that would or could. You have done exactly what I needed you to do. But Papa God can take care of me now. I give you permission, body, soul, to feel, to enjoy, to receive pleasure. I want you to ask Holy Spirit, is there any baggage that I'm carrying that is crippling my ability to respond or to embrace my sexuality? And if you're with someone and he's told you something, I want you to tell that person what it is and what it stands for. If you're not sure, ask him, what is this? What is this baggage for? Is it shame? Is it lies? What is this baggage that I'm carrying? And what does it look like? Does it look like a backpack or a chain or a rope? And you're with someone. So the person you're with, you can take turns if you both have something. I break off of you shame, guilt, condemnation. If there's one thing that you could get rid of today, what would it be? And I want you to give that to him. So whatever you're hanging on to, whatever you're ready to get rid of, be it regret, shame, guilt, condemnation, I want you to put it into a box. To us, those things are ugly. But Jesus delights in those gifts because he knows the sacrifice they are. Jesus, I give to you my shame, my guilt, whatever it is. What do you have in exchange for me?